Welcome to the Age of Vision Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark, where we learn to accept living in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We share information about the facts of radiation and the nuclear industry. We discuss vital current events and explore the roots of social engineering that has caused so many of our beloved friends and family to intentionally ignore the most critical, catastrophic event in human history. We interview activists who do the hard work to discover the truth and get the word out. We disclose the NRC's daily nuclear alerts and take phone calls from our listeners in an effort to fully engage on all topics that are changing our world. We explore exactly how radiation affects our bodies and minds to dissipate your fears and face the truth. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. We share information on how to take your life back from the systems intent on enslaving our bodies, minds, and souls. The Age of Vision Radio Show will create a venue that all will choose in order to actively engage to save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show, and that's Fission, F-I-S-S-I-O-N, because Fukushima changed our planet permanently. The NRC and the nuclear industry, the IAEA, in their hubris, believe that human beings can somehow miraculously adapt our DNA to allow them to be the greedy bastards that they are. And they continue to lie to us, which is why there's many people. When I first got into this Fukushima fight, when I first found out, I really didn't think there was very many people who were paying attention. And it took me a long time. It was quite hard for me to find resources. I ended up going to YouTube. I found Miss Milky the Clown. Then I found Kevin Blanche. And it has been quite a journey since May of 2012. I, like most Americans, believed our government that told us everything was fine. Things are not fine. Here I am on a Monday morning. It is 9/14/2015. And I read the nuclear alerts. And as I was going through them this morning, I just want to impart this idea that it is extremely important for anyone in the United States, really, it doesn't even matter if you're near a nuclear power plant, to be prepared. Have some supplies. Have water that is not contaminated, or have something to put water in so that you can get yourself at least a 2 or 3 day supply of water. Because the NRC will definitely not tell us anything that is going on in Japan will exactly happen here inside the United States. They will not warn us. They will downplay it. As you know, I've recently gotten very actively engaged in closing down the Columbia Generating Station, which we're really seriously going to take. We're taking some serious action in that event, and that we're doing. So we're creating some events. They haven't happened yet. But the reality is, if anything happened, we've been having earthquakes on the West Coast. We know we're being bombarded by higher levels of radiation. But if anything happened up there, we would not be told. We are on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know. That's kind of their bottom line. Look at the headline news. There is a website that I have found. It's called lutins.org, L-U-T-I-N-S.org. And I don't know who puts this page together, but it's very interesting. It basically says the following is a compilation of some known events involving nuclear devices and facilities under U.S. jurisdiction many involving fatalities. Note that this work is not an anti-nuclear diatribe, but rather an encyclopedic listing of facts pertaining to a particular topic. I am well aware of the dangers and negative ecological consequences of alternative energy forms, especially coal and petroleum-based fuels, but a discussion of those is beyond the subject matter of this page. So he goes on to say, please don't email him, blah, blah, blah. But if you look at this page, it is really quite, he defines what a nuclear accident is. From September 2nd, 1944, he lists the research facilities. And then he lists the nuclear power plants. These are the events that happened at research facilities, 1944, 1945, 1946, 1955, 1956, 1957, 1958, 1959, 1962, 1963, 1966, 1974, 1982, blah, 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 blah. So this is really the reason I bring this page up. I encourage all of you to go there because A, nuclear power, as we all know, is not safe. But what this really shows is that we are not going to be told. They are not, you know, they are not going to televise the revolution, folks. They are not going to let us know how completely contaminated our lives are. Right now, there is like a standard. It's the 90% rule. Under deny radiation causes negative effects and under report the negative effects of radiation by 90%. So let me get into the nuclear alerts because I know a lot of people actually are beginning to look forward to those. This week's was kind of hilarious. You know, I will start on, I think I'll start on the on today's date, September 14th, because these reports tend to update previous reports. And we'll go backwards. I was going from the beginning of the week all the way forward, but a lot of it was repeated stuff with them telling us basically, don't worry, nothing's wrong, we've covered it up, that was an error. No worries. So the first one is that the California Radiation Control Program, California Institute of Technology, Region 4 in California. Let's see, what does this say? Two radioactive zirconium metal cylinders discovered at a metal recycling center. That brings us confidence. On November 11, 2004, an individual with the Orange County Science Education Center obtained two small metal cylinders that had caught his eye that were on the shelf at a metal recycling center. So somebody who worked for them, who knew it was a scientist, just walked in at a recycling center. The metal recycler's analysis of a cylinder showed 96.76% zirconium with 2% NB, I have no idea what that means, and some, that must be some element, NB, and some MO, don't know what that is, CRPDMNBIFENINCD. I guess I'm going to have to take a chemistry class to be able to make these nuclear reports because I haven't got a clue what any of that means. So some science person, please call in Friday and let's talk about this one. On August 14th, a member of the public donated, oh my God. On August 14th, a member of the public donated one of the zirconium metal cylinders to the Geology Department of the California Institute of Technology. The location of the second zirconium metal cylinder is unknown at this time. That means somebody went in and bought it. On August 21st, the California Institute determined that the zirconium cylinder was radioactive. A cylindrical metal item measured 3.3 centimeters in diameter, 5 centimeters in length, and weighed 290 grams. The State of California Radiation Safety Office subsequently analyzed the item using a geranium detector and determined it contained approximately 20 grams of uranium-238 and 8 grams of uranium-235, 28.6% enrichment. No fission product was detected, and only minor surface contamination was found. Wow, that makes us feel good, doesn't it? The safety radiation officer believes the item is a portion of an unirradiated uranium fuel element. Wow, that really makes us feel good. This shit is floating out all over the place. Okay, so they updated it. I'm going to spare you the blah, blah, the last few minutes of this report. After a discussion with the private party who received the SNM item, how do you like they already acronymed it? They've already, like, brought it down so we kind of lose our train of thought on this one, right? These fucking bastards. After a discussion with the private party who received the SNM item from the local metal recycling facility, it appears there is no second similar item. Rather, the second item had significantly different visual characteristics. The individual indicated he no longer has the second item. The state of California will attempt to verify the metal composition of the second item with the metal recycling facility. The private party who received the SNM item from the recycling facility is associated with the Science Education Center of California, not the Orange County Science Education Center. Huh. The SNM item is not clad in zirconium or anything else. Rather, the SNM item is a mixture of zirconium and enriched uranium with some other elements, with some other metals in significantly smaller amounts, and perhaps some nonmetals. The Caltech RSO indicated he had not performed as good of an analysis as he would have liked, and emphasized that the values he provided for the uranium-238 and uranium-235 weights were both approximate values, leaving the uranium-235 enrichment better represented as between 21 to 28%. How sweet of them. Oh my God. This is just completely annoying, you guys. Like, these are the people we're trusting with this information. They are so cavalier. It's unbelievable. I'm not kidding. Every week I do this, I'm just still flabbergasted every week at the lack of just ethics, the lack of integral ethics about the danger that this causes. Look at Fallujah. Look at the people of Japan. You know how many people, if we look at really look in history, how many people were injured in Japan? And we just weren't told, just like today, we're not being told about how many people were injured. And in fact, when I'm finished with this, I hope that I can be done with this. I'm going to make an effort to be finished with this by about 20 to 8, because I do want to discuss a pretty big issue that's on my heart that has come across my life in the last week in terms of the whole making an effort on the Fukushima thing. Texas Agreement State Report, radioactive camera source retraction. So they have a camera. The camera was a SPEC 150 and the source was 78 curies of iridium 192. Of course, no exposure to the public occurred. Okay, so they had a camera that failed to open. The mount fell on the guiding tube, crimping the tube. The source was retrieved according to the licensee. So really, no exposure to the general public, but to the people working in that facility, plenty of exposure. Let me move on to the next one. Oh, okay. So look, I'm going to go back and give you the very first report number, the one about the two radioactive zirconium metal cylinders discovered at a metal recycling center. That was event number 51365. I kind of decided I should give you the event numbers. And then the one in Texas with the Texas Department of State Health Services, the one that I just read is 51366. That was the radioactive camera source retraction. 51367, this is in Heart Medicine LLC in Eatontown, New Jersey. So it's all over the country. What is this? Oh, love this. Loss of 137 dose calibrator vial source at approximately 1145 EDT on Thursday, September 3rd. The licensee's administrator radiation safety officer was contacted to discuss several issues related to the relocation of their office. One of the issues raised. Don't we love this? They like take this big long sentence and put it in front of the real important thing. One of the issues raised was the location of several dose calibrator vial sources and gamma camera flood sources that were last known to be in the possession of the licensee. Oh, yeah, the licensee had not provided confirmation that the sources had been moved during their office relocation or had been po disposed of properly. The licensee stated that their consulting physicist was taking care of the sources. When informed that the consultant had been contacted and did not know the location of the sources, the licensee stated that they did not know where they were either. As such, the sources were considered lost. Of the sources unaccounted for, only the above-listed cesium-137 vial source was of sufficient activity to warrant a report. So that means that there is a shitload of radiation that they lost in New Jersey. That is so. I don't know how you guys feel, but this just dumbfounds me. Okay, here we are at event number 51370. And this is in North Carolina, Mocksville, North Carolina, NASCO Products, North Carolina Division of Radiation Protection. I guess they're protecting the radiation. They're not protecting us, stupid fucks. Okay. At 8:31:15 at approximately 1300 EDT, a NASCO worker operating the number 4 Proto cigarette making machine noticed that the nuclear gauge seemed to be malfunctioning. The worker immediately reported this observation to the NASCO RSO. The RSO performed a shutter test and determined that shutter would not open. So it's stuck. Okay, so they performed a safety exercise, blah, blah, blah. So this, what are they going to tell us what's in there? The licensee, okay. NASCO arranged for the Automatic Control Technologies, a reciprocal license which handles manufacturing and repair of fixed nuclear gauges. The ACT should be in the facility before the end of the week. So they're going to call someone in to fix it for them. So, nuclear gauge is an Accuray TG5 fixed gauge, model number S18, serial number S4086H, containing strontium 90, 25 millicuries, I think MILLICI, millicuries source. The assay date was 4/01, and the last leak test was on 4/23/15, was negative. So since 4/23 to now, it started leaking. And this was in North Carolina. This one is hilarious, guys. I read this right before I come on the show. I actually pull up all the current events. I spend, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes reviewing all of them. And this is hilarious. I did try to find out who these people were, but listen to the title of this is Tennessee Division of Rad Health. Licensee was Choo Choo Customs Group. They were a licensee. We allowed somebody who named their corporation Choo Choo Customs Group to handle radiation. Tennessee Agreement State Report. This is license event number 51372. This is unbelievable. A general license facility called Choo Choo Customs Group possessed a, oh gosh, P. Oh, hang on just a second. I'm gonna do my little bit of homework. I didn't get a chance to do that, and I don't remember what PO, what element is PO. So, but hang on, I don't remember what it was. I looked it up and I didn't get it. Polonium. There we go. I couldn't remember what that word was. So, I'm gonna go back and read this to you because this was unbelievable. I couldn't remember what PO meant. Choo Choo Custom Group possessed a polonium-210 static eliminator GL device with approximately 10 millicuries of activity. Choo Choo Customs Group has been dissolved or inactive. the State of Tennessee Division of Radiological Health has been trying for a number of years to get them to reply. That radioactivity has been sold on the black market, you dumb fucks. The division has had our field office staff go by the last known and suspected address for this year, 2015, to run them down, but to no avail. The collection companies for the Department of Air of Environment and Conservation, Division of Fiscal Services, has also had no success. This would be a lost source that the division would report, but we're hoping to get some resolution or the location of the individuals who had owned the company. The division has now exhausted all our leads and is proceeding with the report as a lost source or device. Now, this is report 51372. This is unbelievable. So we have a polonium-210 static eliminator device with 10 millicuries of activity by a company named Choo Choo Customs Group, which is now closed. I looked up Choo Choo Customs Group in Tennessee. It turns out, I guess it's a car company or something. But I'll bet you upon further investigation that that group, Choo Choo Customs Group, who actually would name a car company that too? I really wish I didn't have to work. I wish I could just do this type of work full time because there's so much digging into to go into. I mean, we have been so had. It's going to take probably 100,000 people at least to uncover and investigate the 70, 60 years of lies of the IAEA and the nuclear cartel. It's unbelievable. So here we are at event number 51373, Colorado Health Department of Health. The licensee is called Premier NDT in Junction City, Colorado, where frankly there's a lot of shit that goes on in that little town. A radiography source stuck outside the shielded position. This is a broken drive cable on a radiographer on a radiography camera. The source did not return to the shielded position after an exposure and was quickly discovered by the radiographer. Neither the radiographer nor the assistants approached the source. Thank God they had their brains intact. Both individuals set up an MR2, a 2 mR/hour boundary and ensured no persons entered. Then called the RSO for support at approximately 1400 NDT. The RSO arrived on the scene and notified the state at 1700. So three hour link. The licensee is authorized for retrieval and verbally verified all necessary emergency equipment was available and there was no elevated exposure suspected at the time. So this was somebody who at least was doing their job and did it right when something broke. They set up a boundary. The cause and corrective action, broken drive cable corrected by replacing drive cable and returning source to the shielded position. I think that's considered good news, folks. Okay, here we go. Event number 51391. Facility is Fermi. State is Michigan. Manual scram due to loss of turbine building closed cooling water. What did they call this? Okay, at 2305 EDT on September 13th, a manual scram was initiated in response to a loss of all turbine building closed cooling water, all control rods fully inserted. The lowest reactor water level, that's funny, they create an acronym for this. The lowest reactor water level, which is RWL, so when they refer to RWL, that means reactor water level. Reached was 137 inches. All isolations and actuations for RWL3 occurred as expected. Decay heat was initially being removed from the main turbine bypass system to the main condenser. However, as a result of the loss of TBCCW, that is the turbine building closed cooling water, wow, They even make an acronym for that. These motherfuckers, I hope they rot in fucking hell. When I read these reports, I actually really hope there is a hell. I don't really believe that, but when I read this, I really hope there is, because these motherfuckers need to go there. Anyways, I'm sorry. Let me get back to this. As a result of the loss of the TBCCW, that is the turbine building closed cooling water, a loss, the main feed pumps lost cooling and had to be secured. By 2310, standby feed water was initiated and main water was secured. The loss of TBCCW also cost all station air compressors, which they call SACs. Fuckers. I hope they rot in hell. All station air compressors, SACs, to trip on loss of cooling. The loss of SACs caused the instrument air header pressure to degrade to the point at which the secondary containment isolation dampers drifted closed. This resulted in the reactor building vacuum exceeding the technical specification limit. At 2325, operators started the standby gas treatment system and manually initiated a secondary containment isolation signal. Wow. Secondary containment vacuum was promptly restored to within technical specification limits. Additionally, operators were monitoring for expected MSI IV drift. What is this? Expected MSIV. So we have to go back and read through this to figure out what they made that acronym from. Drift due to the degraded instrument air pressure head. When outboard MSIVs were observed to be drifting, operators closed the outboard and inboard MSIVs at 2345. At 2352, safety relief valves, which are SRVs, reached the low set point and began cycling to control reactor pressure. So it sounds like they had like a fucking near miss here in Fermi. This is unbelievable. I'm telling you, folks, if we have a problem at Columbia Generating Station or any nuclear power plant in the United States, we are not going to be told. We're on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know. Because the NRC is not concerned about saving lives or helping humanity or saving our planet. They are about helping every single one of these licensees make shitloads of money. That's all it's about. Wow. So that was event number 51391, if anyone wants to dig into it. When outboard MSIVs were observed to be drifting, operators closed the outboard and inboard MSIVs at 2345. They began to control the low set point. And this is just unbelievable. I'm rereading this and I'm just like, I'm really dumbfounded. Like, they honestly don't give a flying fuck about humanity if they can continue to do this. So this is the, I'm going to move on. That was all just today. That was all just reported today, folks. That was just today. Can you believe it? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven in one day. You know what I bet, since I'm reading this on air? I'll bet you 2 to 1 the NRC, one of their big conversations is they're going to try to figure out a way to make these event reports a little bit more difficult to read. Or maybe not as clear. I bet you 2 to 1 that now that people are paying attention to it and they're getting public exposure, they at their next board meeting, they are seriously going to figure out a way to like fuck us over so we can't read this. Be curious to see if 1 year from now, if this nuclear event reports are posted on their website in the very same manner. Because I'm going to keep reading them. I'm going to keep reading them until we close down the nuclear industry. Because those people are killing the planet. They have no regard. And, you know, I had this conversation with Dr. Chris Busby on Facebook. And in fact, I'm reaching out to him. I really do want to interview Dr. Chris Busby on the radio show. I hope that, I don't know how long it'll take for me to get him to agree to come on. I want him to not feel like we're going to attack him. I know where I have been associated with Kevin Blanch, who has full fronted gone on attack mode of him. I do agree with Kevin that he softballs it, and in fact, that was my conversation. But part of why he does that, and I understand that, is because if he was to really say the truth, he would never get on fucking air. These people have complete control over what happens. So we have to talk about the social engineering of having these events, all these nuclear events, just basically softballed and understated and talking about them as if they're, don't worry, folks, we're handling it. When in fact, not only are they not handling it, they're lying to us. They are ignoring the scientific studies that the early scientists discovered, and none of that has ever been disproven by Dr. John Goffman and Arthur Tamplin. So let me get to September 11th nuclear events. The event notification report, September 11th, 2015. This one has been retracted. This was at Browns Ferry, 51153. What was retracted? High pressure coolant injection declared inoperable. Okay, so blah blah blah. Why did they retract it? Let's see. The notification on June 12th reported a condition to where HPCI system was declared inoperable. Excuse me, due to the time to drain the turbine exhaust drain pot after running the system for periodic testing. The concern was that the turbine may be partially flooded, which could cause water hammer and damage, could cause water hammer and damage the HPCI. Oh, I see. Subsequent evaluation concluded that the HPCI system, under the identified flooded turbine conditions, will not produce a transient that exceeded design values. Therefore, HPI system inoperability has maintained and no reportable condition existed during that time. So I guess they decided, no, let's just don't talk about it. Wow. So let me go back and read what the original thing said, because I was not doing this in June, on June 12th. I don't, maybe I did do this one. This is probably one of my very first ones. That's when Kevin first left. The issue was previously analyzed by the engineering department as acceptable, but the time to drain the pot after the latest test indicates more water in the exhaust than the maximum amount used in the analysis. So that basically, what they were saying is that they thought more water was going into this system, but actually, no, on second thought, everything's fine there at Browns Ferry. Don't worry, your pretty little heads. Okay, so here we have Rotor Controls and New York, Rochester, New York, 51309. Notification, micro switch intermittent variance in resistance. This was updated. So this was also an update on 510 from Patrick Michaud and Mark Abramovitz. Mark Abramovitz is somebody that I think we need to be writing to. Rotork has concluded that the investigation and based on data tests determined an unsafe condition can exist to be defined under 10 CFR 21. Testing has established that a small percentage of the switches supplied against Rotork purchase order number P0116932 may exhibit an open circuit condition when operated. A slightly larger percentage of the population may exhibit high contact resistance from the 0.0 Hm to an, I think that's ohm to an open circuit. I think I really do need to take a chemistry class because I don't understand this language. The anomaly affects the normally open and normally closed contacts equally. Contact resistance anomalies are random, not permanent, and appear to be unaffected by accumulated cycles. Additionally, when a switch is operated, its electrical state remains constant until the next operation. Don't we love this? Probabilities have been established by resistance measurements and dynamic testing using voltage representative customer applications. The dynamic evaluation predicts an open circuitry probability of 0.0008% per operation. To date, no switch failures have been reported from any customer sites below Are lists of orders provided to customers containing V12 switches on defective batches? So I guess what they're telling us here is that this company, Rotork Controls, provided switches that could create some type of a fault, establish an unsafe condition could exist. So I guess we just have to wait to see, right? I don't see that they retracted and forced these people to replace this equipment that was good. Oh yeah, the truck's rolling over the victim, but let's don't move the victim. I swear to God, these motherfuckers, honor God. Okay, so let's move on. I just am still nonplussed. Event number 51362, Tennessee Division of Rad Health, Utica Maui Cup Division. And that was the name of the licensee, Utica Maui Cup Division. Utica Maui Cup Division. You know, maybe it's because I live in Oregon, but honestly, that sounds like those people are complete potheads. Letica Maui Cup Division. Wow. Clarksville, Tennessee. Event number 51362. Gate shutter broken in. Gate shutter broken and taped shut. Now there's a solution. Just tape it shut, folks. Okay, let me read this. On September 2, 2015, inspectors from the Nashville field office, Tennessee Division of Radiological Health, went to Letica Maui Cup Division in Clarksville, Tennessee, to inspect their generally licensed devices. It was discovered during the inspection that one of their gauges was broken. On May 6, 2011, the shutter on the NDC model 102X serial number 12571 broke off. The shutter was taped back into position at that time, and the gauge was removed from the manufacturing line. No notification was made to the division. The gauge contained an 80 millicuries of americium 241 source, and nobody goes to fucking jail for this bullshit. 80 millicuries of americium 241, and they taped the fucking model shut in 2011, no, May 6, when Fukushima had just happened. Just happened. These people have the nerve to just, oh, a gauge containing radiation broke, so let's just tape it up because, hey, that's secure. Wow, folks. I think Mondays is my biggest day of cussing on this radio show because when I see stuff like this, like the cuss words just fall out of my mouth, I can barely stop them. I'm nonplussed by this. 2011, that's 4 years, almost 4 years. It's over 4 years. May 6, 2011, September 2. They inspected it. If the inspectors had not gone by there to look at it, would they not have found? And in fact, why weren't the inspectors there before that date? You know, our government really needs to hire, if we're going to have these, and obviously we have these divisions, we have these parts. These are parts of our government that our tax dollars are paying for. We need more people in this industry to actually protect us from the gross negligence. Can you imagine any other industry doing something like that presents such a tremendous, tremendous risk to life? Americium 241. At this rate, folks, I don't think I'm going to get through this. I'm not going to get through all of these events. Okay, 51365, California Radiation Control Program, California Institute of Technology, Pasadena, California. Two radioactive zirconium metal cylinders discovered at the Metal Recycling Center. Oh, we just read that one. Here they go. They go about repeating everything again. Here we are. What's this? 51366. This is Texas Department of State Health, Team Industrial Services, Inc. Radiography camera source retraction failure. Okay. I don't think I just read this. On September 3rd, I received a report from the licensee that the radiography source retractor failure occurred in a temporary field site in Borger, Texas. The mount fell on a guide tube, crimping the tube. The source was retrieved according to the licensee, and the damaged equipment was removed from service. The camera was a SPEC 150, and the source was 78 curies of iridium 192. No exposure to the public occurred. This always blows me away. No exposure to the public, but it did have exposure to the individuals who work there. Here we go. The next one is 51367, New Jersey Rad Protection and REL Prevention Program, Heart Medicine LLC, Eaton, New Jersey. A loss of 137 dose calibrator vial source. Wow. So here we are again. So, and let me go back up. Let me see if we can get to September 10th. See if any of them are repeats. 51361, California Radiation Control Program, Mitsubishi Rayon Carbon Fiber and Composites, Anaheim, California. Radioactive source sent to a. Well, I don't know. You know, this is so outrageous. Radioactive source sent to a waste recycling facility and returned. Thank God. So what happened was those people basically said, we're not taking it. Let's see. On August 18th, Mitsubishi Rayon Carbon Fiber and Composites contacted the California Emergency of Emer Office of Emergency Services to report a missing source. The source, a Honeywell Measurex BAL55 source holder with a generally licensed KR85 source, 300 millicuries as of 10/20/97. What's KR, you guys? I guess I could look that one up. Let me go to the Googles, see if I can find that one. What is KR? I guess that's how I'm going to learn the chemistry, right? What is KR? What element is KR? Krypton! Oh, that's great. Love that. Okay. So here we are again. Let me make sure I'm back on the right page. Yeah, that is unbelievable. You know what? As I'm reading these things, I'm really beginning to wonder, is it maybe this is why no one's done it, because every week, how long have I been now on the radio? A little bit over a month, right? And week after week after week, I'm reading these things, and it's as if business as usual. Think of the years these people have been in business and posting these things. If anybody listening to the sound of this radio does not comprehend how completely radiated this entire planet is, we need to rethink it. I mean, this is not just David and Goliath. This is just Goliath stomping out what they consider to be little ants, and that's us. Wow. So, Krypton, I guess that's what it was, a Krypton 85 source, 300 millicuries as of 10/20/97. Wow. And I wonder how long Krypton lasts. Let's see what that guy says. Because that is unbelievable. That's just it's unbelievable that they actually really seriously could care less about human life to this point, that they are so disregarding of it all. They were informed that the missing source was reported to the RHB, California Radiologic Health Branch, when Mitsubishi could not get in touch with the RHB personnel after contacting RHB Brea in Los Angeles. He contacted the Office of Emergency Management. So they couldn't get in touch with the California Radiological Health Branch, either in Brea or in Los Angeles. And why not? See, this, maybe it's because we just don't have the people in these areas. They're just starving the beast, I guess. That's, the NRC has just decided that they're just not going to hire people. This is unbelievable, folks. I'm just nonplussed at all of this. I just can't get over this. On 9/9, fuel cycle facility, event number 51382, uranium fuel fabrication Areva NP Inc. in Richland, and this is Richland, Washington. Did I already read this? Troubleshooting process equipment in the ceramic. An instrument technician got his right thumb. I think we read this, but let me read it again, or maybe I read it before I came on. On Wednesday, September 9th, while troubleshooting process equipment in the ceramic area, an instrument technician got his right thumb caught between two pieces of equipment and severed the nail and part of the end of his thumb. The individual received first aid in the health and safety technician office and was surveyed for radioactive contamination and was found clean. In parentheses, the injured gloved hand was bandaged and not surveyed. The injured individual, accompanied by HST and survey instrument, was transported to the medical facility. After the individual was unbandaged by medical personnel, the HST surveyed the injured individual and portions of the medical facility and confirmed that no radioactive contamination was on the injured person's hand or had spread to the facility. The bandage and the damaged glove was returned to the plant and laboratory instrumentation was used to confirm it was also free of contamination. You know, it is also conservatively being reported that under 10 CFR 70.50B3, treatment of an individual with radioactive contamination because of a small portion of the individual had not been surveyed and confirmed to not have any contamination prior to the transporting of the individual to the medical facility. So they're basically saying here that the guy will be fine, just fine. And we need to just ignore it, move along. You know, I wonder what happens to these people when they end up getting contamination and dying from these things. And as we know, basically they're kind of left on their own. We know this from the reports we've seen up in Hanford. In fact, my own science teacher, her dad worked at Hanford and died of cancer. And he was on his own. It was not at all related. Nobody even acknowledged it was related to his years of work at Hanford. Wow, we're at 8:47. I'm sorry, I keep blabbing on. But I just these reports today are stunning to me. Here we are on September 9th. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reports. I think this one's a repeat, 51331. We just read that. This is an update. Let's see, the exposed individual has been providing blood samples at the local hospital. The sampling will continue through today in a 24-hour period. We can scroll through to the very bottom of this, and we already know what they're going to say. The company has contacted, da-da-da-da-da. I bet you they tell us that he's fine, just fine. Let's see. REACTS has been contacted to discuss and review the results of the laboratory work of the exposed technician. We recommended that we continue the CBC once daily through Friday this week and continue to forward the results. So they will continue the examination every other day for up to 3 weeks and post the event. Wow. So that is it. Fine. Fine. Don't worry about it. That person's just fine. Tennessee Division of Brad Health, Jarden Zinc Products, Tennessee, Greenville, Tennessee, event number 51358. Fixed nuclear gauge shutter stuck closed. Another stuck nuclear gauge. These things are pieces of shit. Here's one that's been retracted. This event has been retracted. This event has been retracted. That's in event number 51359 in Blanding, Utah, Utah Division of Radiation Control. Low-level alpha radiation of a shipping container. So what did the update say? The source of alpha radiation was natural uranium. The container was decontaminated. Okay, let's retract it provided by, here's another retraction. Upon further investigation of this incident, it has been reported that the incident was an error and the DOT standards were not exceeded. So move along, nothing to worry about here, kids. So what's this one? Yeah, we got that one. There's a repeat of that one. And then we have Monticello, Minnesota, event number 51379. Oh, someone got busted for being drunk at work. Positive random fitness for duty result test. A non-licensed employee supervisor has a confirmed positive for alcohol during a random fitness for duty test. The employee's access to the site has been terminated. So no drunks on the site allowed. But they let you take all the pharmaceuticals you want. September 8th. Oh my gosh, there's so many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Let's see if any of them are repeats. Event number 51120. Oh, we've got 10 minutes left. Unanalyzed condition for postulated fire. Oh, I remember this. This is an update. Remember, that's what they said. If we had a fire, we're super screwed. So that's what this is all about. So let's see. Updated shuttle. They're basically telling us, I think you remember this, right? Where they did this test in Hatch, Georgia, that said that if there was a fire, we'd be super screwed. So now they're basically telling us in a big, long retraction statement that in preparation for transitioning, the plant Hatch fire protection has an update and it has been performed. Everything is fine, just fine. Don't worry about it. So let's see. Gosh darn, there's like six updates on this one, you guys. People are actively engaged. You know that they were freaked out by that one because they didn't want people thinking that that in case of a fire, we'd all be super screwed. Although we are going to be super screwed in case of a fire. So in Hatch, where is this? Hatch. Georgia, you guys can all feel safe now because the NRC says it's safe. Ah, I feel better. So, Arkansas Department of Health, number 51277, NEA Baptist Memorial Hospital. Oh dear. Radioactive shipment delivered to the wrong address. When was that? That was the original event date was 7:30. So maybe this is a update. We reported this last week, the update. Received a written report from the licensee on September 3rd outlining actions taken to inform staff that a package containing radioactive material be delivered to the wrong address. That should be package containing radioactive material be delivered to the wrong address. These actions include reviewing procedures, photos of the packages containing radioactive material, and retraining on the receipt procedures. Oh, thank God. So now they've actually upgraded it. So now when they get in, so they're going to tell us what their staff should do in the event that they deliver radioactive material to the wrong address. That inspires confidence. Oakwood Hospital in Dearborn, Minnesota, Michigan, I beg your pardon, Dearborn, Michigan. 51352. That's the event number. Lost radium. Iridium 125C. That is so sweet of them. They are telling us they lost one. Oh gosh. By reviewing the radiographs of each specimen, we have ruled out the possibility that a source was left in the patient. On 8/26, another independent radiation survey in the pathology lab was performed by the nuclear medicine using a scintillation director, and again, no seed was found. Well, that's good to know. They didn't leave the seed, but where'd it go? The rate so far it's as follows: radiation survey of the pathology lab performed by the pathology lab supervisor. Survey revealed no presence of radioactivity. So they've lost a seed. There's no radiation in the person, but where'd it go? I'm telling you, this whole thing about nuclear medicine is safe, it's all bullshit because they have no standards of safety whatsoever in this entire endeavor. State Department of, I think in the future I'm going to have to go through these and actually really figure out how many of these I'm going to, because this takes up the whole hour. Cobalt 57 lost during shipment. Is this an update? This is a event number 51354. Notification date 8/27. Wow, on August 27th, I know that I probably read this. And what does this say? On August 27th, the licensee notified the agency, the Texas Department of State Health Services, that 100 millicuries of cobalt 57 source had been ordered by one of the investigators. and shipped to the proper address for the licensee, but the source had not been received. The licensing radiation safety officer, that's what RSO means, radiation safety officer, reported that the investigator had checked in around noon on the status of the order with the radiation safety office. The radiation safety staff learned that the investigator had ordered it without following procedure and going through their office, so they had not been aware of the source where that the source was supposed to be coming. The RSO reported that upon checking with the common carrier handling the package, the carrier showed that the package had been delivered on August 21 at College Station. No other information documented by the driver. And the carrier provided the name of the person who signed for the receipt. The carrier opened an investigation. The RSO contacted the company from whom the source was purchased and verified the shipping address was correct. A search was conducted at the building it should have been delivered to. The staff was questioned if they had received it or seen it and or knew the person who signed it, and the RSO searched the staff and student directories and checked through the university's police departments for the signer's name with negative results. Wow. At approximately 16:30, the RSO made the determination that the package was missing and reported to the agency. The RSO stated that the team will begin canvassing other buildings in the morning and efforts will continue to locate the package and identify the signer. Further information will be provided as it is obtained with SA-300. That is unbelievable, folks. So in College Station, Texas, Texas A&M Environmental Health and Safety, there was a package that was mailed with 100 millicuries of cobalt 57 that just somebody signed for it and they haven't got a clue where it's at. I see that we're at 8:56. I am just dumbfounded how quickly this goes. And, you know, what is this? Thankfully, I think this is the very last one. Is there one more? Yeah, that's the very last day. So it really took me an hour to get through this. Event number 51352, Oakwood Hospital. Again, the lost seed. That's that same one. A&M 51342, Cobalt 57 lost. New York State Health Department, Estee Lauder, Inc. 51356, what the hell does that mean? Generally licensed source missing, later recovered. What does that mean? On 12-12-14, Department of Health became aware of this incident. A liquid scintillation counter, 25 years old and containing 10 microcuries of radium-226 had been stored for 3 years. It could not be located on 12-12-14. An attorney in Estee Lauder's legal department was asked to contact DOH to report the LSE could not be located. What the hell does Estee Lauder do with radiation? In 8:15, let me just skip through this because we only have a few minutes. This is stunning. I'm going to come back to this report and try to dig into this a little bit more. On 8/18/15, DOH was notified that Keith Machinery Corp. had located the Perkin-Elmer LSE model, which was awaiting shipment to Romania. Items are not shipped immediately and individuals to places like Romania, but are accumulated until a large shipment is acquired. The Keith Machinery was able to locate the LSC and return it to Estee Lauder. Estee Lauder shipped it to Radiac Research Corporation for disposal on 7/28. DOH received a copy of Radiac Research Corporation. The Estee Lauder general licensee registration can now be terminated according to the request. And you know what, folks? I think that's at the end of the line. I think that's it. On Wednesday, we're going to have Sean from the SGT report here. And, you know...